Welcome, my friends. Welcome to Proactive. We are the podcast diving deep, deep into the realms of productivity. This is not just your podcast about being more productive in business and achievement and doing more things. Our hosts, Dr. Tina and Richie and Arthur, and our guests each week are here to provide you with tips, strategies, and insights so you can supercharge your best life. Proactive is about being productive mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So if you are ready to produce your best life and you want to balance being with doing, please hit the subscribe button. Please share us with your friends. Please leave a great review. And now it's time to get proactive today. And we are here to welcome today's guests. And today we have with us Robin Eckhaus. Robin is a powerhouse neuroscience-based peak performance coach. That's a mouthful. Who developed a proprietary 9 principles coaching program. And prior to that, she was an amazing real estate attorney, and she has accolades on her bio that can go on and on and on and on. But today we want to hear from her and hear about what she's doing, what she did do, and why what she does now is so amazing. So I believe Robin and Arthur have been friends for a while. I'm going to have Arthur ask you more, start off the conversation. I want to know how you got from real estate attorney to coach. I'm sure everyone wants to know that. And why your program of coaching is the best ever. So take it away, Arthur and Robin.
Robin, so you were a super successful real estate attorney, having closed over $5 billion of transactions for some of the biggest developers in New York City. So what led you to abandon the legal ship and pursue this coaching?
So my journey to where I am today started about 7 years ago. Actually, before that, I was on a mission to change the way that I related in the world, to change how I related to people, deepen my relationships, and tried everything and anything. It's just part of my life, therapy, all of those modalities. And I stumbled upon a book of neuroscience and using your mind to change your brain. And that has impacted me beyond belief and has provided me with an entire new way of being in the world. And that has what has led me here today, because I believe that suffering is universal and that people, no matter where they live in their life and whether or not they recognize it, because it took me a long time to recognize that situation, but people shouldn't have to suffer. And I think that because I was a successful attorney, you know, and had the research skills to be able to follow the breadcrumbs and the dots. And then when I went to Columbia, I had to do a program, and this is what came out of that. But I significantly transformed. And now neuroscience really has become of the forefront and the only way really to change, in my perspective, is to change your neural network. So, and that is, you know, 100% doable. Our brain has plasticity. We grow new neurons. We can make new neurons. We can engage in something called self-directed neuroplasticity, where we can engage in activities that for ourselves will create new neural networks. And I believe that that for me was substantial. And the driving force of this is I believe that people shouldn't have to suffer and people shouldn't have to have gone through what I went through in their lives or spend the time or wouldn't have the resources to be able to do it. And I feel extremely lucky that I was able to find this. Otherwise, I would have lived my entire life the way that I did. I was out of control. And many people, if you read the book, like The Body Keeps the Score, and everyone has
Love to
something.
get him on here.
Everyone has something, and you should, because everybody has something. And I feel fortunate to have been able to find this and to transform. And that is my goal for people. And whether or not somebody has the trauma that I had and ultimately needed something like this, if you just want to be better, do better, and have a better life and have time for all the things that you want to do and not be rushed and not be in 20 places in your mind at one time, then this is the program for you to accomplish things. For me and people who have gone through my program, the results are extraordinary in multiple domains. And the biggest thing is that you really get to live the life that you want to craft, how you want to live it. It's not me telling you what to do. It's you setting what you think is important, and then we work on that together. But ultimately, the neuroscience prevails, and people have extraordinary transformations.
Well, our lives are created in our brain, right? We create our own reality. We see what we choose to see, but we've been taught that our educational system teaches us to follow our parental, what they did and what they did and what they did. And we live in a new world and a new universe. The best humans adapt, right? And we live in a world that hasn't changed or adapted new educational and new research, right? Like I mean, I'm a physician and I don't believe the physician model is appropriate anymore.
Right. I mean, I
Like,
agree with that. I think that for me, it all stemmed from extreme childhood trauma and food addiction. And I suffered that at a very, very early age. And, generationally at that time, nobody talked about it. So I didn't tell a soul until I was 52 about what had happened to me when I was young for a significant period of time. And I think that that is the case with a lot of people. And even today, I think that people go through things and, trauma is trauma to whoever's suffering from it,
correct.
right? And it had the one thing that really, really inspired me about this was that, individuals are all unique. And like I said, pain is universal, right? But our brains are all the same, too. So if you break it down to a common denominator, right, we all have those compartments, and we're learning more and more with fMRIs and, wearable technology. I wear an Oura ring on a very simple level, a Garmin watch when I run. And, athletes are wearing EEG caps, they're portable now. And I think we're learning a lot more about how the brain works. And I think that you're right, Tina, like, to the extent that what this really is, people carry the shame of their perpetrators. We carry the guilt of what had happened. We carry the guilt of what happened to us. So, like, people who suffer, like Rwanda and wars and veterans and whatever situation it is, people get divorced, people who lose loved ones, it affects our neuro, it affects our brain, it affects our gray matter. And the younger that you are, like for me, it really affects the way that your brain develops, right? And so nobody tells you that, right? And, I had a food addiction, and it wasn't until I was in my mid-50s that I found out that that's a side effect of my trauma. So you think it's this and this and this and this, and it's really not. It all comes down to the fact that we live in our conscious mind, and we need to not live in our conscious mind, because I grew up in a bad neighborhood, and your conscious mind is a bad neighborhood. So I know what a bad neighborhood is. And it's like they say, you can take the girl out of Brooklyn, but you can't take the Brooklyn out of the girl. You grew up in a bad neighborhood, you know what a bad neighborhood is,
Well,
right?
we live with an inner judge and an inner critic and a bunch of saboteurs and all that.
So what I'm hearing is we've all got trauma. And I'm very open with my trauma. I'm a veteran, PTSD, have suffered with it for the last 10 years. And I talk about it quite regularly. So I think the stigma that's attached to that is something that the charity that I work for, Mentality Matters, that's something that we're really trying to get rid of, for certainly for men, because I think the stigma for men is a lot worse than it is for women, because women have, I think, naturally, women are more open than men are anyway with their feelings and emotions. So, if we've all got trauma, and I can only speak from a man's perspective, what can I do to work on that? And if my, I come from, it was voted the number one place in the UK not to live, multiple years running. So, stabbings, drugs, that was a daily
Grew
occurrence
up in a
for
bad neighborhood too. It was around the corner
us.
from Robin's neighborhood.
It's just in a different country.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, things never change, different countries, but it's all the same. So, how do I get out of that place, and how can I get myself to a better place?
So that's a great question. That's where I started, right? In the deep dive into the neuroscience and to change my neural networks. And so what my research discovered that there's our bodies, and Tina, I mean, you're definitely probably more equipped to discuss this than I am, but like our bodies are pharmacies, right? And we emit chemicals all of the time within our body. And so we can, and to a certain extent, the chemicals that get emitted when you're in stress and trauma, they are the most broad-reaching chemicals in terms of emission, neurotransmitters in terms of emissions into your bloodstream, right? And they do have very harmful effects. I like to say I was killing myself from the inside out. And basically, what I learned was that there are things that you can do that can emit chemicals that help you create neuroplasticity. So while you're trying to change, you can do things to help yourself in order to help yourself build those new neural networks. And as you continue to have the habits and do the things, new things, do them, I call them 180 degrees different, right? If you want to be different, you have to do things different. And so that's where I started. I started doing the things that emit the chemicals that create neuroplasticity. And then I started determining what I wanted to change and effectuated those behaviors. But more importantly, I started to understand that your mind and your body are connected. So use that to your benefit, right? If you push your mind, and I mean, you're in this space. If you push your mind, you push your body. You push your body, it pushes your mind. And where the secret sauce is a combination of emitting the chemicals that are good for you, stopping the activities of the chemicals that get released that are bad for you, engaging in activities that push yourself so that you can create these new neural networks. And ultimately, you want to kind of be in the flow, which is a neurochemical process that happens in your brain. Athletes experience it all the time. And you want to focus and you access portions of your mind that have everything that you need, you just don't get there. And so I've accomplished things, and clients of mine have accomplished things that they never even thought of. So I've done things that, if you asked me 5 years ago, was this something I ever thought I would do or something I ever thought I would accomplish, I would never even thought of that. But as you push yourself and expand and get into these zones, your mind starts to be innovative and creative. And Tina will sure agree with me. You can't be in a stress situation and be creative. You cannot do that and be innovative, right? And that is what you want. The other thing that is really important, and I've learned, your brain doesn't know the reality and what you think. It's all the same. And so the more there is a certain aspect of going deep inside and looking at yourself and looking at the trauma and working through the trauma is so important that you can have like a spiritual bypass like that. I'm all good. I did that for years. It doesn't work. Hurt people hurt people. That's just the honest fact. It comes out sideways. You know, you're angry, you're depressed, you have anxiety, you get triggered all the time, you take things out on people that don't deserve it. It's typically the people you love the most or want to be with the most. And you have to kind of change that cycle. And the way that you do that is after you look deep inside, you can't talk about it really anymore because your mind relives it and your mind thinks you're back in it. And so the best thing to do is to walk through it and move forward and use it. I use it to fuel someplace I never would have been had that not happened to me. And I think if you speak to a lot of people who do the work that I do or my clients, you end up in a better place than had that experience not happened to you.
I hear so much of what you say, and I agree with so much of what you say. And want to add, I guess, a few things, because sometimes people change their behaviors, and what they're actually doing is exchanging one addiction for another that is perhaps more healthy. They actually haven't healed their trauma. And
Correct.
so there are many folks who just exchange behaviors. So there are, let's say, drug addicts and alcoholics who become extreme sport addicted folks, and they're not actually, or workaholics. And we forget that overworking can be just as dangerous to the health as someone doing alcohol or drugs, right? And so I just want to play. And again, I imagine that your program does more. It sounds like you are addressing the trauma. So I'm just putting out this is again a yes and not a critique of your program of don't just think that if you change your behaviors, the brain changes. There are changes when you change behaviors, but it go to change your default mode network, which is how all the circuit, everything is working, is much more than just behavior, because it is how you think, how you behave, how you act. And your first brain is your gut, not your brain. And ideally, your brain is a slave to your heart, and 94% of communication is nonverbal. And it's how you behave to yourself and others from a heart standpoint, through self-love and self-empathy, that actually affects how your gut, what
Correct.
bacteria live in your gut, and your gut makes your serotonin. And your
Right.
serotonin is your happy hormone, which then makes your sleep hormone, melatonin. And we are different, and we all actually have different variations in our enzymes. And
Correct.
so some of us are more prone to X, Y, and Z from culture, and some of us are prone to X, Y, and Z from family, from circumstances, and some of us are more prone to X, Y, and Z from our genetics. Some of us have the trifecta, right? And so it's so simple and so complicated because we are both simple and complicated at the same time. So I
But
just
we're,
wanted a yes and to your program
yes,
so
and
people
that,
hear you and understand it's not one thing. It's
right.
this and that and that and that.
Correct. And that's why I said the nine principles that I have go in a certain order. And so it is like, for example, one of the first things, and I'm sure you'll agree, is, is gratitude, right? It's self-love and gratitude. So a lot of people don't have, listen, I'm a 34-year lawyer. I am the biggest, I was the, I, the, I can, no one can, I say, and I'm like stumbling on my words here because I think I was the biggest non-believer, like every other lawyer, that all of this stuff just is not, it's like out in the ether and that's not for me. But you're right. That's why it's really important that it's not the behavior that drives the change, right? It's the changing of the neural networks and then the behavior that embeds the new neural networks and shrinking of the old neural networks that then drives the new behavior. So yeah, you could, for your point, create a new neural network and create a new addiction, right? But if you follow the program and you do the things, that was not my case. I did become a runner through this, an ultra runner and a marathon runner. Not as an addiction, as part of the way that I was pushing my body. Because if you speak to any runner, no one really likes to run. So, and Andrew,
I
you
love to run.
don't,
Sorry.
so you're
I
unique. So,
love running. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world.
Andrew Huberman just came out with, he had David Goggins on, and he just came out with, the anterior, well, mid cingulate cortex. It doesn't really matter. But if you do things you don't like to do and that area of your brain grows, so right there shows that there's neuroplasticity. People who have that larger portion of their brain, it leads to longevity, it's pushing yourself. So for me, in answer to your question, it wasn't changing one addiction to another, although it might have looked like that to the outside world. It was pushing myself because my brain wanted to stop at mile one. It always wants to stop at mile one, right? And I had to teach myself that we don't stop anymore at mile one. Like, we do not hold ourselves back. And that helped me overcome the shame. It helped me over, and everyone is different, everybody, and that's why my program is customized, because what worked for me might not work for you, but you need to admit you need to do something to admit those chemicals that create the neuroplasticity while you're trying to effectuate the changes that you want to effectuate. And there's a lot that goes into that, right? Like, for me, and
Arthur.
Arthur will tell you, Arthur will tell you, there's a lot that goes into that, right? It's not just, I want to change. There's calendars, there's, phone things that I take off my phone or I don't look at. There's constant, it's concentration, it's being engaged, it's being in the present moment, right? It's getting into that flow space, it's working less. It's not working more. It's finding that 10 to 15% of creativity that I've never had. And a lot of tech companies use that. That was the Post-it notes, that's Google Calendar, came in that creativity space. So you want to
Didn't
kind of
Post-it notes come from a mistake? It wasn't that
change.
whole thing. It was like it was a failure of a good stick,
Right. But
right?
it
Which
still
is, but
was.
how brilliant that they took a mistake and made, there is no mistakes in life. They're just mistakes, and they used it creatively to
That
make
leads
an
to,
amazing product.
correct. And that leads to
There's no
another point of
failures.
my nine principles, right? It's what you said. It's your mindset. It's yes and, right? That we can learn from other people. There's a whole set of things that you can do. Intense exercise, really, I don't have to tell you, intense exercise works to emit the chemicals that really change your neural networks. And that's why, though, in times of stress, you really have to also learn, you have to learn ma like management technique skills, because you go back there, those old neural networks, they don't die. They're there. You go back in a second, right? You have to learn how to pause, you have to learn how to walk away, but to go back to Richie's question is you really don't want to continue to relive that trauma. Like, you don't want to keep telling yourself that story. You want to tell yourself a story that, yes, this is an experience that this is an experience that happened to me. And this made me, you know, some people say I'm grateful for all the experiences in my life, you know, and I don't want to make it that simple, but this made me the person who I am today. And I have to believe that I am better off for it. And not only that, but that the people who ultimately are going to hear my message or the people who work for me are going to be better off because they, in some sense, have either suffered or want a change in their life. And have, you know, if you look at New Year's resolutions, I don't need to say
anything. Was it January 18th and they're done?
Right. You know, so I don't have to say anything more than New Year's resolutions. You know, my program is not a New Year's resolution program. It's to become my girls. They used to call me the old Robin, new Robin. And then when the new Robin fell away, you got to a place where you never stopped working at it, but you got to a place where you relate differently in the world. And, you know, athletes, they get into the flow all the time. And I say, you know, the 4-minute mile couldn't be broken till it was. And then everybody did it because it was just a mindset restriction. And that's what you want to do in your life. You want to get rid of the mindset restrictions and know you can do it. And believing in yourself is one of the biggest things that you can do. And so many of us who have been through things just don't believe in ourselves.
One of the, I don't know, I look at it, right, is we've been brought up on Disney. There's a victim, a circumstance, and you need someone to rescue you. And there's a guy who wrote the TED, The Empowerment Dilemma, and he changes the triangle. And you have a challenge and you are a creator of your life. You meet the challenge and all you need is a coach to remind you, you can figure it out. So it's the same triangle with a different story.
Right. And it's what you tell. So the thing is, you could either, you know, tell yourself that story over and over again, that you're a victim. I certainly was a victim for years. I was a victim. And, you know, sometimes people say, oh, what happened to you? And then sometimes I almost say it's irrelevant because what happened to me, it could be X, and what happened to you could be Y. And the second you start comparing, well, yours is worse than mine. Or listen, it goes down a bad road because at the end of the day, no matter what, trauma or things or just desires to live a better life or be in a different situation is still almost like self-effectuating trauma. So you ultimately, everyone is in the same situation, and I don't know a person who doesn't want to live a better life and have a better life and have better relationships with the people that they love. And you'll love this, Tina. You know, in studying at Penn, the science of neuroscience, you know, you learn that, like, where are the most receptors in your body? And, you know, is your fingers and your hand, you know, and that's touch is so important, right? Mm-hmm. So if you do nothing,
that's why Zoom was so hard for people because all they had was sight and sound and not touch.
Hug someone, you know. Now
when the biggest oxytocin rush, yeah,
right. Now when
I cuddle party,
exactly. Now when I run, I could see someone crying on a bench, and before 8 years ago, I just would have. First of all, I wouldn't have been running. Second of all, I would have just passed them right by. Now I stop. Are you okay? Would you like a hug?
That's nice of you. That's so
Would you
lovely.
like a hug? Because you know what? If it's one thing, like kindness doesn't cost anything. And if it's one thing that you could do every single day, I try to do authentically, is try to make someone's day in an authentic way.
A
And
ripple effect.
the ripple effect. And you know, the other thing is, like with your charity, when people, if you do it in a positive, moving forward way, people's brains sync up. And when their brains and their hearts, it's new research coming out of the University of Pennsylvania, the Wharton School, their brains and hearts, you know, we have neurons in our hearts.
Actually, the heart math proves that your heart's way stronger of an electromagnetic field than your brain. It extends 6 feet out, and if you're in a coherent state, you're going to change the world around you. So yes.
Correct. And what you learn, and I was a big non-believer of this too, is we are just energy and frequency. We really are just energy and frequency. And if you raise your vibration, you raise, and if you regulate your own nervous system, you regulate the nervous system of the people around you.
Right.
So if you have people who have, you know, and this works in business, right? If people are sitting in a meeting, and the other thing I'm sure that you know is the mirror neurons, right? Or our thoughts, our brains speak to each other. So if you're sitting next to someone you really don't like, they know it, right? They know it. And you know, I do a thing, and it's people say this. It's a great tip. If you're walking through a doorway, say to yourself, I love everyone in the room.
Like that.
Before you pick up a phone,
94% of communication is nonverbal.
right? You just say to yourself, you love everyone in the room. I just read a study, like oxytocin doesn't get released. They did a study, I think, on 12-year-old girls and their mothers, and oxytocin doesn't get released in text messages, right? Pick up the phone, pick up the phone, you know. Call somebody. It's, I know, it's like, I think that was like a 1960 commercial. Like, you know, I want to promote call your mother, but like, but now
Just
I've
got to
read,
put the intention out in the universe and
you
they'll
put
call
the
you.
intention out in the universe. And there's so this is what I'm saying. Like, the nine principles are things that you can do for yourself to change your neural networks. And then there's the things you want to work on and change. And then there's the broader neuroscience of how we each relate and impact each other on, you know, you call it nonverbal energy. I call it, you know, our brains talk to
I think
each
it's our
other.
energy. I mean,
Yeah.
I think we're energetic
Right.
beings. I we're
Right.
energy and matter are the same. We look at each other and think we're physical, but nothing. We're just a slow enough frequency to be perceived as solid matter. That's what Einstein taught.
Right.
We're
Well, and
no
Einstein
different.
also taught, which is ironic that you bring this up, because this is how I ran by a quote: the thinking that got you here is not getting you out of there, right? It's not
100%.
getting me out of here. So that's when I said to myself, you know, then I think I saw a quote like that, you're in a book, like the back of a book, that your mind can change your brain. And I thought, like, wow, if my mind could change my brain and I can actually make those changes, then I can actually live differently. And then there's a whole other things, you know, Arthur will tell you, I've been coaching him on the sidelines of the benefits of minimalistic, you know, purging and focusing and leveraging and teaching people you don't want the short-term gains. You know, this whole celebrate your little wins is
You
not
want to
necessary.
celebrate your wins.
Celebrate, yeah, but you not every little win, because you want the bigger wins. So that's important. And it's also, I mean, I'm talking a little bit more about like the marshmallow effect, that, you know, not that you're looking for something that's unobtainable, but that if you have, let's just say, you set out to run 10 miles, and at 3 miles, you're like celebrating, celebrating, celebrating. You may lose the leverage space to continue to run those 10 miles, and everybody's different. So it's just something to be aware of. Everyone has to know what everyone has to ultimately come to know themselves. And I think that's what this program is about. And that's what I help people do is to come to know themselves. And once someone comes to know themselves, then that's the roadmap, right? And the other thing is it's discipline. It's discipline. And Americans, you know, some of us don't have discipline. Like I certainly didn't have discipline. You know, no is a complete sentence. I'm doing something else. So
I love that. And you can't be a real estate attorney and tell me you had no discipline.
she was a machine.
I was disciplined in a different way,
You're a successful real estate attorney without discipline. You had discipline. You just chose. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you are disciplined, and now you're choosing to live your life differently. And I love that you're choosing to live your life more authentically into a place of where you feel fulfilled and you're growing and you're helping others grow and you're helping people change their brains and you're changing the vibration of the people around you. I am celebrating you, you know, and giving you all the accolades in the world. And go back to your prior self, and your prior self was pretty good too. Why don't you share with us really quickly? You said it's 9 steps. Can you just bullet point 1 through 9, just their names, and then people can then go and search you and discover more?
So they can look at my website, the 9 principles. Some of them depend upon who I'm working with, but they're basically the way that they work are in 3 phases. It was meant to overlay. I became an executive coach through Columbia, so it isn't that portion of it is an overlay of that. But the beginning is definitely when you start looking inside of yourself. It's mindset, it's gratitude, it's those types of things, and you know how each person wants to work with that, like whether they want to journal. You know, I say sometimes set your alarm. Your alarm, you can name an alarm. So set an alarm, like I used to set it for 3 p.m. right? And it would say love, gratitude, and give. And then I would call somebody at 3 p.m. to tell them I love them, right? So simple things, or you can do a gratitude list at night. Then there's the diet, the sleep, and the exercise. That's
Wonderful.
so important for your health, right? And it's so important for your neural networks. And then the last part of it is believing in yourself, having efficacy, like self-efficacy, believing in what you're doing is making a difference, and having some type of a community. And you know, Richie spoke about this, like men have much less of a community than women. But I think the biggest thing is really that people do not talk about this. Very few people have. I'm fortunate, a lot of authentic friends that I can have these conversations with. I think a lot of people do not have people in their lives that they can actually say, this is what happened to me, or this is what I'm feeling, or this is what I'm doing, without like bad enough you have the negative committee in your head, or like you need a supportive group of people to say, yes, you can. You
Find your
need that.
tribe.
You need that. You
Yep.
need your tribe, you know?
The
And
redwoods grow the tallest by lateral roots. They hold each other up and they get really tall. And
I
we are
think that's
trees.
so important. And you know, you have to seek that out. Like it is so important, and that is not something that a lot of people have, especially men, and they have to seek that out. It's
Thank you.
important. So those are really like the steps behind what I call the change, and then the change has multi components to it, and it is part of the flow. How do you get into the flow? How do you become disciplined? How do you do the purge? Why is it necessary? What does that look like to you? How do you leverage? How do you 10x it? You know, it goes on and on and on from there. And this is just the basics that you need to do in order to start that process.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us today. You're a
Thank you for
pleasure to
having
listen
me.
to, and your stuff is out there. And you know, I say the doctor of the future is the patient. So I the player of the future, right? Or the coach of the future is the player. So anyway, proactivators, today, this is all the time we have for today. And we could go on and on, but it's time to end. I'd like to thank Robin so much for her amazing insights. Please support her. Please check out her links, the web, social media, more. The details will be in the show notes. Always remember our podcast drops every Monday at 9 a.m. Please remember to subscribe. Please remember to share with your friends. Please remember to leave us a great review. And until next time, never forget, time is our most valuable resource. Get proactive, be productive to ensure you produce your very best life.